We're doing in Yaakov. We're up to page Lamed Tet in the standard editions, Daf Teichet in the Gemara. Amar Rav Chama Bar Chanina taught, Bechorev, in the desert of Sinai, by the mountain of Sinai, Ta'anu. That's where the Jewish people started wearing the crowns. We learned last time that the Jewish people got crowns, and they said, Na'aseh v'nishma, two crowns. So it was at Sinai that they donned those crowns. Bechorev pariku. It was also at Sinai that they removed those crowns. So we learned how they donned the crowns at Sinai, because Bechorev tanu kedamrinan. They wore the crowns. That's what we said earlier, that when they said Na'aseh v'nishma, so they got these crowns. Bechorev pariku, how do we know it was at Sinai that they removed the crowns? Dichtiv, the verse says, Vayitnatzlu v'nei Yisrael et edyam me'achorev. The Jewish people took off their jewels at Mount Sinai. What does that mean? After they did the sin of the golden calf, that means they took off those crowns. They took off the crowns they were given when they said Na'aseh v'nishma. Amar Rabbi Yochanan.
While they were doing the sin, they had the crowns on?
Seems that way, yeah. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, v'chulan zacha Moshe v'ntalan. And Moshe got all those crowns. And this seems to indicate that the crowns were not physical crowns. It says, u'moshe yikach et ha'oel. Moshe took the tent. So after it says the Jewish people removed their crowns, it says, and Moshe took the tent out of the camp. So one reading of this Gemara is, they took off the crowns, and the next pasuk says, and Moshe took. So sometimes we read a pasuk, and we break it up. We say, it's going back on the previous pasuk, and it's also going forward. The same words can point in two directions in Torah. So over here it says, and Moshe took, to tell me that Moshe took those crowns which they took off. They were all granted to Moshe. The other interpretation is that the word ohel doesn't only mean tent. The word yahel could mean to give light. And so Moshe took ha'ohel, Moshe took the light that they took off. And that would seem to indicate that the light, the Jewish people's crowns, was a certain light that they had, which doesn't seem that that means a physical light. It means spiritually they shone. They had all risen. When they said Na'aseh v'nishma, they had risen to a certain height where spiritually they shone at that point. That's an important insight in terms of what it means they had a crown. And if it means a spiritual growth, then we have to reanalyze what just happened here. We'll continue in one. So the Jewish people say Na'aseh v'nishma, and now they wear crowns, and we're taught that that's a spiritual shine, it would seem, according to this second pshat in Rashi. So that seems to say that sometimes we can make a decision or a declaration in our connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and it has a long-term effect. So much so that it's called the person is shining. Sometimes there are moments where you could say the Na'aseh v'nishma, you can make a decision, I'm going to do this, and then you can be propelled forward. You're a different person. You're in a different place. And there are moments where we make those decisions and they can drive us for a very long time. But then the flip side is, what does that mean? They were doing the golden calf, Binny right away said, so they're serving the golden calf with those crowns on, and that's what the pasuk seems to be teaching us. That means sometimes a person can reach a spiritual height and then do things that are wrong and not lose that height. It's only when he steps back and says, oh no, what did I do? It's at that moment that suddenly he knocks himself down. Sometimes it's not so good to reflect on negative things. Sometimes you can't grow without reflecting on them. But sometimes the mere fact that you're standing there and saying, "Oh no, what did I just do?" Knocks us down. And,
so they took the crowns off.
They took them off. It says the Jewish people removed their crowns. So it seems that they were intellectually honest, they were spiritually honest, they realized we're not worthy of this anymore, we're not there. But it also seems that that only happened after they transgressed and Moshe came off the mountain. So long as they were in the heat of the moment serving the idol, they didn't lose the crowns, even according to the second chat in Rashi. So that's I think that gives us a lot of insights into our growth. People sometimes ask me, how much time should I spend delving into my past and doing tshuva about things that I did wrong? And I always say, don't do that now. Focus on doing what's right. Focus on building the future. Focus on getting it right from now on. Maybe in a number of years you'll be strong enough, maybe, to look back and reopen one topic at a time, and then after a few years another topic, maybe. But for most people, working with what we regret very often just causes us to stagnate, and on the contrary, it doesn't allow us to grow. What we have to do is look forward and build forward. The focus on the negative very often makes us negative. That's what we discussed last night in the laws of Lashon Hara as well. So yes, a component of tshuva is sometimes being able to sur mira, to veer away from that which is wrong. But we usually grow much better through the focus of asei tov, of doing what's right. Yes?
To make it sound like it was a bad thing that they reflected. I mean, even according to the second opinion, which I thought was the more common opinion, that, I mean, it was a punishment, right? Once you said you did this, and now this is going to happen. But you're saying that, according to the first opinion, that because they reflected and that was a negative, that was bad, they had negative consequences.
I'm not saying they had a choice. That's what I said earlier, that on their level, they were at a place where they could and they had to reflect. That's not where most people are. I'm just saying it's interesting to note that until they reflected, they didn't go down. They had to. Hashem said to them, "Aseret yicha me'alecha." Hashem said, "Remove the shine. You're not there anymore. Our relationship is not where it was beforehand. You're not there." Hashem told them, "Aseret yicha me'alecha." So it's not. I'm not saying it was a punishment. I am saying, you see, it left at that point. Amar Reish Lakish. So Rav Yochanan taught us. Step one, and now his disciple and his brother-in-law, Reish Lakish, tells us step two. The atidin, and in the future, atid, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lachziran lanu, Hashem will ultimately give it back to us. Shneimar uvduyeh Hashem yishuvun, uvau tzion berina, v'simchat olam al rosham, sason v'simcha yasigu, v'nasu yagon v'anacha, simcha shemeolam al rosham. Reish Lakish says, when we are promised in the Navi Yeshaya, that we will return to Zion, v'simchat olam, with the eternal happiness, that's the happiness that it means was there once upon a time. Simcha sheme olam. Simchat olam could mean eternal to the future, or simchat olam could mean a happiness that was experienced once in the past. So he's interpreting it to mean a happiness that was experienced once in the past. And here we see a recurring theme in Chazal, that spirituality is associated with shining and is associated with happiness. Right? Hashem says, where He is, there's only light. Where Hashem is, there's only happiness. It says, Hashem has a place called Mistarim, called hideout, where Hashem goes to cry. But Hashem's place, so to speak, is a place of happiness.
What does that mean?
That's a good question. That's a very good question. Amar Rabbi Elazar. We're moving forward to Rabbi Yochanan's disciple, Rabbi Elazar. When we read Rabbi Elazar in Talmud, that's Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat. B'sha'a shekdimu Yisrael naseh le'nishma. When the Jewish people said, naseh before nishma, we will do what you've said, Hashem, and we do want to understand after that. So that when they made that declaration, I'm prepared to do it. Yatzata bat kol v'amra lehem. A heavenly voice came out and said to them, "Megila lebanai raze. Who told my children this secret? Shemalachei asharet mishtamshim bo. This is the way the heavenly angels speak before Hashem. They say the term naaseh v'nishma. V'chtiv, as the verse says, Baruchu Hashem malachav v'kiborei koach osei dvaro, lishma bekol dvaro. Bless Hashem, angels who are so mighty, to do the will of Hashem, to listen to Hashem. Right? The pasuk describes first, the pasuk describes the angels as those who do the will of Hashem, and only afterwards does the pasuk describe them as those who listen to the word of Hashem. But first they're going to do. So, this concept, though, shouldn't be misapplied. The Kuzari and the Ramban and the Rambam, they all stress that Am Yisrael did first require an understanding that Hashem is true. This idea of do and then listen is when it comes to the details. But when it comes to the basics of is Hashem real? Am I supposed to listen to Him? The people in Egypt worshipped many forms of idol worship. So why should we adopt this? So the Kuzari stresses one aspect, Rambam stresses another, Ramban stresses another, but everyone works off of the understanding that when the Torah describes Vayamen Ha'am, the nation believed in Hashem, Vayaminu B'Hashem Uv'Moshe Avdo, this was a process. The people required certain information. They did require a certain understanding before you could expect them to say the Na'aseh V'Nishma. The issue is, we have to reach a point where we say that Na'aseh V'Nishma, and sometimes people lead their whole lives and they're not prepared to say the Na'aseh V'Nishma. And when you've reached a certain level of trust, of understanding, then you have to be prepared to say the Na'aseh V'Nishma. And it seems that it's not so easy to ever say the Na'aseh V'Nishma. Because you see that even after they saw the Ten Makot, and they saw the splitting of the sea, and they saw the Egyptians drown.
Prophecies bigger than Yechezkel, right?
They saw great prophecies, and it was still something that Hashem says, wow, good for them that they did it. Meaning it's not so simple for a person to be intelligent and do it. To be stupid and do it, yeah. There are a lot of stupid people who are willing to sell their soul for anything. People are willing to put their faith in many things, but it's not an act of wisdom. The Torah expects us to be wise, to understand, to question, to learn. And when we've reached an understanding, then also reach a point of trust where we say, Na'aseh V'Nishma. Okay, you know better. I'm going to do this because this is what you've said. It's a level of trust. Am I willing to circumcise my son? So today, modern medicine says it's a great thing to do medically. But how did people do it 1,000 years ago? How did they do it 2,000 years ago when the Greeks said they were mutilating the body? When the Greeks said they were hurting their children? There has to be a trust. They didn't always have answers. But where we have to build ourselves to the point where we can say the Na'aseh V'Nishma. And again, it's not the first step. It's a step to attain. It's not the first step. It wasn't Am Yisrael's first step either. Am Yisrael did first question and get good answers. So that's where we're going to have to pause. Today we learned the idea that at Mount Sinai they removed the crowns, the idea that Moshe received all the crowns and that's why he shone so much, two opinions in Rashi as to whether the crowns were actual crowns or a shine, the idea that ultimately they're coming back, and the idea that this was the way the angels speak to Hashem, where they first say they're prepared to obey, and then they also say they also want to hear what Hashem is going to teach.
But that doesn't take up.